Good afternoon. This is Dale Meyer, and I'm sitting in for Tom Baker on Law and Gospel. And Buzz is going to help me through this hour. You know, I only do the Meyer Minute, Buzz, and the Meyer Minute is 90 seconds, and we've got a whole 60 minutes to fill.
Yeah.
Can you get me through it?
We can get through it. I understand we're going to have guests today.
Yeah, I've got a number of guests coming up. The first one is going to be Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs, who has just had a new commentary on Matthew published. And I don't want to get down into academic stuff. I want to talk about what he learned from that experience, what it means for us normal people, and so on. And we'll get a little law gospel theme in through that. Then, in fact, here comes Jeff Gibbs right now. And then after that, we're going to have Mrs. Marty Lindved, who is a counselor at Concordia Seminary. I originally asked her to talk about holiday stress. Well, with all the snow and ice that we've got all kinds of stresses that we can talk about. And then we're going to have a call in finally with Dr. Bob Baird, the director of the American Contra Rai. I think some of you heard just a few minutes ago Buzz tell us that performance scheduled for Sunday is going to be postponed. So we got a lot of things that we're going to do here. Again, you remember, Buzz, when Senator Lloyd Benson was debating Dan Quayle, Senator Quayle,
sure do,
for vice president, and Quayle made a reference to John Kennedy, and Benson said, "I knew John Kennedy, and you're no John Kennedy." Well, you know Tom Baker, and I am no Tom Baker, but we're going to get through it.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, that's Jeff Gibbs. Thank you, Jeff. Didn't you have some real work you could do?
I was teaching, and but walked quickly down the street.
Yeah, what are you teaching?
Well, we just got finished with our basic course that all students have to take on sort of how to read Holy Scripture in a disciplined, careful Lutheran way. We call it hermeneutics, which is the fancy word, but it basically means sort of careful interpretation of Scripture.
I had an Uncle Herman. There's no connection.
Yes, Herman's Udix. That's right. Those are the little piggies that were out on the farm, I think.
Well, there's rules to everything. There's rules to reading the Bible, too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, how many students showed up today? The deal on campus is that
right.
The staff came in a little late, but the prof is the king, so most profs met their classes. A few didn't.
Yeah, I had 8 o'clock class this morning, and I think there were more than half of the guys who were able to come in. Some had emailed or called. They lived away and in the snowy conditions. This afternoon, I think I had about, I actually got up everybody, 25 students, so yep,
they
all came in.
Great.
Yeah, we had a good discussion.
Yeah. Tell us about Matthew, the commentary on Matthew. First of all, what is this commentary series that you wrote for?
Yes, the Concordia Commentary, a theological exposition of Holy Scripture, is a project that began Concordia Publishing House, began this project in 1992, and its target audience, in a sense, is pastors, not just Missouri Synod pastors, but other pastors who are able to work with Greek and Hebrew.
Wait a minute, not just Missouri Synod pastors?
No, we believe that our faith and convictions about Holy Scripture should be treasures offered to the whole world. But the project has been going now for about 14, 15 years, and 9 or 10 books have had commentaries written on them, and this latest Matthew Volume 1 that I've written is part of that series.
It's Matthew 1 through 11, correct?
It's a little deceptive. It's actually chapters 1 through 10, but the title is 1-1 through 11-1. As somebody said, that's a lot of ones.
It's not really a bait and switch.
No,
it's
not
a substantial
really,
book. I've got a copy of it, and I think on a nice wintry day like this one, I'll probably settle down and read it. Except that we don't have any heat in our house, you know.
Well, we have a gas stove, Dale, in the kitchen, so come on, you and Diane can come on over and stay warm.
Okay. What was it? How long did you work on this book?
Well, I signed the contract in 1997.
Another century.
Yeah. I've worked in some ways on the whole gospel, so I would say that this volume took me about 5 years to write and for it to be produced then.
Which tells all of us in the audience that biblical interpretation is not something you do on a weekend retreat.
Right, and that's part of the reason why it takes so long is, of course, there are many other duties and teaching and speaking and so forth, being a father and a husband, and So, I've been blessed. I've had some chunks of time. The seminary has granted me a sabbatical a few years ago, and Concordia Publishing House has been very good to me. So it's a slow process, but I'm very excited about the first volume coming out.
And, what are some of the things that make it slow? I mean, you don't just do cross references. You go into other literature. Could you tell us, speak to those of us who are not familiar with all this? You know, what kind of materials do you check out? How deeply do you go? Are you outside of biblical literature?
Mm-hmm. The kind of a two-part process. Every author is supposed to give their own original translation of the Greek or Hebrew text, depending on the book. And so for that, you use all the standard tools that other scholars use to understand the meaning of words and clauses and sentences. Then so that's kind of the notes part of it. Then the commentary part is trying to know enough about first century Palestine, about the whole context of our Lord's ministry, what's going on in the Roman Empire and so forth, Jewish culture at the time. So you're studying ancient history in that sense, and also trying to interact with the great work of other scholars. You know, many, many fine, intelligent people have written about the Gospel of Matthew, and they have lots of good things to say. So it's kind of an interacting on those levels. You can't read everything, so you just kind of pick and choose and prayerfully make your way.
Well, we tip our hat to you.
Thanks.
Or today, our warm, fuzzy,
we tip
ear
our,
flap hat
exactly, yeah.
to you for all that work. If you've got a question that you'd like to address to Dr. Gibbs, give us a call at 505-7850, or for those of you who live outside of St. Louis, including my home state of Illinois, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Jeff, lay the academic stuff aside now and reach down into your soul. What did the soul of Jeff Gibbs, saint and sinner, redeemed child of God?
Baptized.
Frozen today, but you're the frozen
the
chosen.
Frozen chosen, that's right. Amen.
You know, what did this do for your faith and your understanding of this baptismal faith that we've got?
I'd have to say that I've come to understand just how, and I'll use a churchy word here, gracious God is in a better and more full way. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, is actually for sinners. He's for them. The only people that do not receive his blessing and his forgiveness and his promise of resurrection are the people, the only people that don't receive it and him are the people that look at him in the eye and say, I don't need you. I mean, he is utterly gracious. And in that sense, he's unpredictable because we're not utterly gracious. You know, we like people that like us, and so we don't like people that don't like us. But this man eats with tax collectors and sinners.
Well, didn't he challenge the religious establishment?
People like you and me.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing. That's
seminary
the scary
professors,
thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ministers and so on.
Yeah. Those who think they have something really have nothing. But to those who have nothing, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Am I correct to say that his goal in Matthew, and the goal of Matthew, is not to make more religious people, but to get all people, including religious people, to know Jesus.
Yes, exactly right, okay. And to follow him.
What are some of the misinterpretations that we could easily fall into?
Well, here's a funny one that I'll mention. It'd be a little controversial maybe, but we're coming up on Advent, which leads to
Melt
Christmas.
Melt the snow, buddy. The snow.
That's right. The wise men, you know, Matthew chapter 2.
All three of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We probably should not refer to them as wise men. Because when you call them wise men, it makes them sound smart. And it's like they were smart enough to figure out, you know, where Jesus was or who Jesus is, something like this. But I was just telling the students this. Just on one level, look at how the Gospel of Matthew describes them. They show up at the wrong place. Where is he who has been working of the Jews? We have seen
they,
a start.
They didn't have Tom or Garmin. You can see that on their camels. It would have been a lot easier, right, Buzz?
So they show up at the wrong place, right? They don't know where Jesus is. They have to have a star to get them there. And when they take it in their heads to leave, they have to be warned in a dream not to go back and tell Herod. Hmm. See? And the part of the message of the Magi story is that is later in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise. See, if you think you're smart, you're in trouble.
Ah, yeah.
But you have revealed them to babies.
That chapter 10?
That's chapter 11.
11, well,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So the next volume.
So that's exactly at the beginning. That's part of the surprising message of Matthew is think of Joseph. You know, he's a righteous man. He cares about Mary. He's going to do the wrong thing for the right reason. See? He can't figure this out. God has to reveal it to him. See?
Hmm.
And that's why Holy Scripture in general is so important, you know, just for us as believers, is we can't figure this stuff out. God has to reveal it to us. And that's why we have to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the message of the Bible.
But don't we like to take the teachings of the Bible and bend them to suit our preconceived notions?
Sure. So that
and
we're
then we justify that by quoting a Bible passage.
Of course. That's where, you know, reading what other people have written about the Scripture is really helpful. And so it's a good process because it really, you see some other person that clearly is learned and pious and they challenge your thinking. And it's really been a good process for me.
I find it heretical to say, I mean, it may sound heretical to say it, but I tell the students that I teach, I said, read other Christian traditions and even non-Christian traditions, mm-hmm. you know, with your antennae up, but you get some insights in right. about the Scriptures and about our faith and make you treasure it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So are you taking a little bit of rest now after the first volume? Or I mean, the first volume was completed some time ago.
Yes.
But, you know, are you cranking up?
Well, it's just been a busy fall. You know better than any of the rest of us how busy it is at times. And but now, actually, I've determined this term to get back on track and begin to peck away again. I'm working on some things in Chapter 11 now for the commentary, and I'll just work away till Christ returns or I finish.
Well,
or I die.
Yeah, you don't know when he's going to return.
I don't have a clue, but I'm looking for it.
I got to tell you, this man works hard, and every morning about, 6:30, 7 o'clock, you go over to the office. And...
Well, that's if I'm running late. Yeah. I have a goal to have the coffee making in the office at 6. See, that means I get there about 3 till. See, I'm very obsessive about this. I don't always make it, but that's my goal.
Well, the seminar's probably not paying you enough for all those hours you're putting in.
It's not about enough. It's really fun. And you know this. I mean, you're doing something that you enjoy. There are times when it's boring, it's hard, but when you see, I'm so gratified and grateful to the publishing house.
Yeah, tell us about how to get our hands on this thing. And this is, on the one hand, it is not just a Bible discussion pamphlet. I mean, this mm-hmm. is a serious book. On the other hand, though, an interested layperson
yes.
who is a student of the Bible
mm-hmm.
can get it, correct?
Yes. The format is nice in that regard. That after every section or paragraph, there's a commentary section. And a person who has done some reading and is interested in investigating things in a more a deeper way, perhaps, could a person like my father, for instance, who's a layperson, I sent my mom and dad a copy of the commentary, and I'm sure that they both would be able to read the commentary section with profit.
Did you autograph it for mom and dad?
I did. In fact, I dedicated the commentary to my parents because they have been my models. You know, they have been lay teachers of Scripture in their home congregation for 40 years.
Mm.
See?
Mm.
And so they're the one who taught me how important it is to study the Bible.
Available from CPH, Concordia Publishing House.
Yes, you can call the Publishing House or call our Concordia Publishing House bookstore here on campus. I think if you call the seminary switchboard, 505-7000, they could transfer you to the bookstore. I don't get any royalties, so I'm happy to shamelessly plug the product.
And when you call, tell them you know Dr. Jeff Gibbs.
I tell people
because
to buy
you heard
one,
him on Law and Gospel.
Buy one for each eye.
Since this is Law and Gospel,
yes,
right? And
yes.
Tom Baker said, I said, Dale, what do I do? He said, do anything you want. And so I get you in here,
yep.
And in a minute we're going to hear about stress. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But what you said, let's wrap this thing up. What you said, the main thing about Jesus is he is for
Sinners. He's for us.
And sinners means the people we might not want to hang out with.
Yeah, people like us.
Okay, and is that law or gospel?
Well, that we are people like us is law. That he hangs out with us is good news. Very good.
Yeah,
news.
Super. Hangs out with us, hung out for us.
For us, and rose
and
from the dead.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Dale.
If you want to hang around, or if you're going to go back and build a snowman, you're welcome to whatever you would like.
I got an appointment to talk to one of our pastors now, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good,
let's come and chat about some things.
Thank you for coming down to
Thanks
help,
for the invitation.
Help me out. I'm a sub guy here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The president of my seminary, a substitute.
But you have our respect.
Thanks. And you have mine as well. So
okay.
Good. Thanks.
And
Thank
if you're
you.
Going to go to CPH to find out and you want to do it via telephone, the number there at Concordia Publishing House is 1-800-325-3040.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you very much. We're going to shift to our second discussion point here. While Marty Lindvedt is taking the chair in the KFUO studio, I was thinking about things that I remember about snow, you know. I remember tobogganing on Indian Hill, which was on 16th Street in Chicago Heights, Illinois, a south suburb, and we go tobogganing. It was so great. The problem was that at the end of the hill was a creek. Creek for some of you.
It's not a small one. I've seen that one.
We would do that. Buzz, what'd you do when you were a kid and played with the snow?
Well, we're much like you. We had a long hill that led down into a drainage ditch creek, and we went down that hill, and sometimes we'd pull each other down the drainage ditch if it was a day like today where it was more ice than snow.
Yeah, I took a walk through the woods on campus. The woods is the western end of our campus where married student housing is, and all these kids, just dozens and dozens of kids, were going down those hills. It was so great to hear them shouting and playing and having a good time while the adults were worrying like we
That's
worry.
Right.
Stress, Marty Lindvedt.
The kids were so happy school has been canceled, and you're remembering what it was to be a kid in snow. I'm remembering what it was to have to leave the city to go to the snow because I grew up in Southern California. So this kind of weather is extremely stressful for me. It's really
Look at this. I am no Tom Baker. I got a Southern California girl on in the first snowstorm of the year. What kind of planning is this, Dale?
I don't know. How did you do that? How did you do that? But I've been here a long time. My kids have grown up in snow. My little girl's out there breaking icicles off the railings and making popsicles out of them and saying, Mom, isn't this fun? And I'm plastering that smile on and saying, yes.
Oh, has she licked the icicle yet? And it sticks to your lips?
She thinks it's a great treat. I don't get it.
Oh, my goodness. Or was it just my lips? The icicle
yes.
would stick to the...
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I know. She thinks it's lots of fun.
How old is she?
She's 7.
Oh, perfect. Perfect,
right.
perfect.
Yes.
So, the reason you're here is because I had you know, stress. And this is a time of the year when we get stressed
yes.
because of the holidays coming. And now we've got this today's stress with all this stuff that the Almighty dumped on us.
That's right. It kind of blows the consideration for the holiday stress right off the map, doesn't it? Because this is so much bigger than the preparations for the holiday, especially when they're not really focused on what we're really celebrating.
And maybe this will be a good way to put things in perspective.
Yes.
Perspective. Yes. Remember, listeners, that you're welcome to call us 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, and if you have a stress-filled question, Marty Lindvedt can give you an answer. Marty, give us your qualifications. You just didn't fall off the hay wagon now.
Not recently, but now I'm a professional counselor, a licensed professional counselor here in the state of Missouri, and a nationally certified counselor. I'm the director of our counseling center on campus, which serves our entire campus community. And I have the privilege of working with the students and their families and the staff and the faculty and their families when they have counseling needs. And this particular counseling center is very active in counselor education for the other universities in the area. So that's also something that I really enjoy doing, and training counselors who want to provide mental health services.
And you do a great job. You do a great job.
Thank you.
And oftentimes the people who come to you are feeling the law, the demands of do this, don't do that, and the failures that come when we can't live up to those demands.
Absolutely. So. We call that in counseling the tyranny of the shoulds. You know, I should do this, I should do that. And a lot of times we're bound by those things, and we really shouldn't be, we bind ourselves.
The tyranny of the shoulds. The
tyranny of the shoulds.
That's memorable. Maybe I can make a Meyer Minute out of that.
There you go.
And we'll, the check's in the mail.
Right. I didn't think that up, so I'll let you know who the actual author of that is.
Okay. What is stress?
Stress is our body's response to change, you know, and we can actually, believe it or not, some stress is good and some stress is bad. When we hear the word stress, we typically think only of that which is bad. The kind of stress, the kind of reaction to change that makes our blood pressure go up, that makes our heart pound a little bit too fast, that makes our stomach hurt. For example, big snowstorms or loss of jobs or even as we think about the holidays, preparing for a big family meal. And you're not just thinking about the food, you're thinking about the relatives you feel like you must invite that don't get along and things like that.
I remember I had a elderly woman in my congregation in Collinsville who must have been in her mid-80s and took care of her husband. And she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed." And that surprised me because I thought, hey, you're retired. You're just sitting around here doing anything. And the more I got to talk with her and to know her better, she was stressed, taking care of her husband. For her, this was exactly what you described.
Yes.
It's not just these type A personalities.
Correct.
We all have this.
Well, and we all have different things that cause us stress. What is stressful for me might not be stressful for you. I talked to you a little bit earlier on the phone, and I was kind of being a screaming Mimi because I was talking about how it felt to me for my windshield to frost up or ice up, actually, as I was driving. That caused me a lot of stress. I had people offering to give me rides because they thought that sounded like fun. You know, when I got here, like, what's wrong with you?
Is that who is that driving there erratically down the street?
Right.
It's Marty Lindvet.
That's
or Mr.
Right.
Magoo.
Yeah, that was
we
about it.
We don't know who.
That was about it.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to be taking a break now. My boss here, Buzz, tells me we're going to be taking a break, and you do whatever Buzz is going to do, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about the stress of this season, how we deal with it, some things we can do. Admittedly, stress is going to happen, and
That's
not always bad, how we can cope with that. And again, feel free to call us. Dale doesn't always know what he's doing. We need your calls.
And those numbers are 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. More of Law and Gospel in a moment.
Coming up on the next Jubilation program, Sunday at 1:05 p.m. here on AMA 50 KFUO, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts with you about preparing for Christ's birth and how it need not be a hectic time, but a peaceful time. That's right. Advent can be one of the most peace-filled times of the year for you. I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to tune in and find out why. You'll get great music and prayers all for you. Won't you join me? That's Jubilation Sunday, beginning at 1:05 p.m.
On the next Joy, music for the first Sunday in Advent. We'll hear music recorded in some great spaces, the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, Westminster Abbey, and others, plus arrangements of and variations on the most famous Advent carol of all. This is Ron Clem. Anticipate with us this week on Joy. Listen for Joy on the web at KFUO.org and Sunday afternoons at 4:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
2:30, it's time to take a look at the AM 850 KFUO Daily Bible Quiz. And being it's Friday, it's time to do a review for this week's Bible quiz. And this week we told you that it was a What's That Again clue. And you were supposed to get the answer if you heard these four clues. Monday, you heard the clue, he will tether this to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine. And you had to figure it out from that. Tuesday, you had to figure out from, but a witless man can no more become wise than this can be born a man. On Wednesday, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find this. And Thursday, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on this. If you put all the clues together, you were one of the winners. Congratulations. You came up with the answer. Colt.
Here's a happy AM850K, if you will, salute to our day sponsor on this Friday, December 1st, 2006, Kurt Brinkmeyer. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM850K, if you will, in celebration of his wife, Kathy Brinkmeyer, and his daughter, Holly Aslan, on their birthday today. Happy birthday to Kathy and Holly. And once again, we say thank you to our AM850K, if you will, day sponsor, Kurt Brinkmeyer of Florissant.
Christmas with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra has become, for some, a family tradition. Their holiday concerts help make the season bright. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra holiday concerts are Friday and Saturday, December 15th and 16th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 17th at 2 and 6:30 p.m. Make this your special time and Powell Symphony Hall your special place to meet with family and friends and share the joy of the Christmas season. The holiday concerts of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Visit slso.org.
Time to take a look at the AM850 KFUO datebook. Well, you need to know that the Concordia Seminary has announced the cancellation of this Sunday's Bach at the SEM concert. It was scheduled for 3 p.m. Sunday the 3rd. They'll announce later a revised concert date. The Bach at the SEM concert for this Sunday has been canceled on the Concordia Seminary campus. Some good news on the other side. The Boar's Head Festival, the Christmas Festival to Peace Lutheran on Barracks View, which last night's performance had to be postponed. The good news is tonight's performance is on. It doesn't look at this moment like they'll have any other cancellations for this weekend. You can contact the church to find out what to do about last night's tickets. And the 17th Annual Community Nativity Play in Livingston, Illinois at Holy Cross Lutheran Church goes on this afternoon and Saturday at 7 and 8 p.m. in the barn, 300 Livingston Avenue in Livingston. That's the date book from AM850 KFUO. More of Law and Gospel returns on AM850 KFUO, and Dr. Dale Meyer, take the mic.
Thanks, Buzz. Now that we've got a counselor here, I can kind of work on my problem with you. The problem is that when you said that the Boar's Head Festival was going to be on tonight down at Peace Lee May, when you said boar, you were looking at me. I take personal offense to that. I might need a counselor to mediate.
I think it's spelled differently. I think so. I think he wasn't really thinking
oh.
of you, but I'd be happy to mediate. We don't want any hurt feelings here.
Spelled differently.
Yeah. You're on the right track there, Marty.
It's kind of like Walter A. Meyer and Dale Meyer. They're spelled differently, but one is right and one is wrong.
That's right.
You know, I mentioned I was walking through the woods and watching the kids play, and I remembered that that poem by Robert Frost that I think we've all know, or at least we've heard. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. Was he stressed, Marty? Was he stressed?
That's a good question. Miles to go before he sleeps. Yeah.
This is the time of year when the snow falls, and we have so many promises that we want to keep.
That we don't go outside and enjoy it. And that's one of the, a lot of the difficulty, a lot of the things that causes people stress during the holidays are, you know, the expectations they place on, upon themselves. You know, sometimes they're realistic, sometimes they're unrealistic.
Can you give me an example of each?
Promises to keep, sure. That I must go to every party to which I'm invited. You know, that I have to make not only all of the traditional favorites of my husband's family for Christmas dinner, but I must make all of the traditional favorites of my family, which, of course, they're two different families. We are not from one of those places where we intermarried. So, excuse me. That was probably law. Okay. Sorry.
but in-laws and even where you spend your time, and that's
right.
All stressful.
It can be. It can be. But we don't have to become bound to that. You know, we actually are blessed with a wonderful, wonderful ability to make choices. You know, God gives us minds with which to think. And we can actually develop skills to set limits and say no to things that...
We can't say no, Marty. We can't say no. I say, I'm not going to send any cards to anybody. And Diane says, you have to.
That's kind of the tyranny of the shoulds just right there.
Law.
But actually, if you choose to do cards, maybe you'll choose not to do something else. You know, perhaps you'll choose not to participate in an event that doesn't include anybody in your family, but an acquaintance invited you, and just to be nice, you might go, but it might take time away from your family.
Isn't it pretty hard to say no? Most of us are people pleasers, aren't we?
I think most of us are people pleasers, but I think one of the most important things you can learn, one of the most important skills you can learn, is to say no. And I think a lot of times when we say no to one thing, we're saying yes to something else. Which
might be your marriage and family.
It might be marriage and family. It might be being a better steward of the time that God has given you with your wife, with your kids, with your grandkids. It might be saying yes to being a better steward of what God has given you in your own personal resources, you know, your own self-care. Maybe you can push away from the dinner table. These are other things that cause people stress, is that they feel like they have to fill their plates with everything that's on the table, or they have to have a drink from everything at the bar, but you don't really have to. Sorry.
A drink from everything at the bar. I'm just trying to picture that. But talking about food and drink and also exercise at this time of year, can that contribute to dealing with stress?
It can contribute to dealing with stress in a positive or a negative way. Exercise is very important in helping us manage stress levels. Healthy eating is very important in, again, helping us manage our bodies functioning so that we're less prone to respond to stress in a negative way. So, you know, when I talk about a little bit silly about not drinking a lot, if you're feeling the blues and you go to that party and you pick up that cocktail and then you have another one, you're actually consuming depressants. And you're already depressed, you know, maybe. I mean, if you're already depressed.
So liquor is a depressant?
Liquor is a depressant. So if you're feeling blue, don't indulge, you know, at the bar. Drink something else. Reach out to someone. You know, do things that are positive and healthy for yourself.
Not to mention when the weather is like this or even when the weather is good. Don't take that depressant liquor and then go out driving. This is
right.
A terrible time of the year.
Or
to
shovel snow.
Do that. I'm not. Marty, I am not. My wife is.
She won't. Don't drink and shovel snow.
Don't drink and shovel snow. How about sleep?
Sleep is really important, and one of the things, an indicator of you know, stress overload is that a lot of times our sleep is disturbed. You know, you might have difficulty sleeping, you might have nightmares, and so being conscious of knowing when to perhaps say no to that extra activity that might keep you from getting to bed at a decent time. from taking that extra cup of coffee at bedtime that might keep you awake. It's so important to be vigilant to your stress or to your sleep needs as well. Just, you know, in order to manage the way our body responds, your body needs sleep, needs to be restored. You know, that's a part of how we fuel ourselves, is through sleep and healthy food.
At this time of year, when we think especially about Jesus coming for us and the journey to Bethlehem and the manger, does meditation, devotion help with stress?
Absolutely, absolutely. Meditation alone and in the company of other believers has been proven. You know, it's not just something that we Christian counselors talk about as something that is a benefit, but it actually, there have been some studies that prove that prayer and meditation can reduce stress and can promote health. And so being in the company of, in the fellowship of believers is so important. And I think that when we're saying no maybe to some of those frenzied activities, we can take the time to say yes to sitting down and having a quiet private devotional or lighting the Advent wreath with our family and really reflecting on what we should be reflecting on, and that is that there's a purpose in all of this. And the purpose is not to fill our stockings. It's to remember that Christ came to the world for each one of us.
There's a passage that I came across some years ago when I was reading, and it's not one of these passages that were made to memorize, like John 3:16 and so on. Psalm 94, verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, a.k.a. stress, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, and we can actually control our mood, properly understood, when we let God and His Word, His Gospel, come into our tyrannized heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
When we let go of those things and let Him have them.
Okay, we've got a call from Bob. Bob, you win the prize for being our first caller here. I'm the boar's head, and you're the caller. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you're very welcome. This is Dale, huh?
Yes, sir. It's the real Dale Meyer.
The real President Dale Meyer. Seems to me I know you.
Oh, this is Bob Baird, Dr. Bob Baird.
Yeah, well, now we're on board here together.
I see. To the other listeners out there, this is somebody that I respect greatly, and I tease him. I say, you are my old professor. When I became a student at Concordia Seminary in 1969, I had Dr. Robert Baird.
So, and you have to underscore and put in parentheses the word old. That's why the President Dale Meyer has such respect for me. I'm just that I'm his old professor.
Yeah, you're great. Now, you've got some stress going on now, Bob. Tell me about it and tell Marty about it. We're here to help you. We're
going
to counsel you.
We have a little stress here. We have a concert prepared for Sunday, December 3rd, and it has been scheduled for 3 p.m. in the chapel of the seminary, St. Timothy and St. Titus. But with all this weather and with all the ice and with all the needs that we have to have had a rehearsal yet tomorrow and then on Sunday and to have our platform up and risers up, it's just become impossible with the stress that was on our seminary family out here to prepare for the concert. So I have decided to ask President Dale and his other presidents that we postpone doing the Magnificat of Bach until perhaps January and February concerts. And that's my plan, Dale.
Well, Mr. Professor of mine, you can do whatever you want to do, and I'll support it. I tell you, I'm a big fan of Bach at the Sem, and I want to see more and more of our students attending that. Tell us about the performance that you have prepared, specifically the Magnificat, which is so appropriate at this time of year.
Well, the Magnificat of Bach is one of his, I think, brightest, cheeriest, joyful, hopeful works. But I don't want to say that his other works are lacking in any of these aspects. But this one shines with three trumpets and a timpani and two oboes and flutes, two flutes, all the strings, five-part chorus, And our soloists are, and they will be in the future, Joy Boland, soprano, and Jean Bowie, soprano, Catherine Lawton Brown, mezzo-soprano, and two tenors, Gerald Becker, Ari Perry, and bass David Berger, with Dennis Bergen helping us at the big organ. My wife, of course, plays a little organ. The Magnificat has a rich scoring, orchestral scoring and vocal scoring. And if anybody understood the adoration of Mary, which becomes the song of the church, it's Johann Sebastian Bach. His contemporaries, like Telemann and others, when they scored the Magnificat in their time, they brought in extra outside Bible sources. So much so, the critics say, that the Magnificat itself, my soul, it rejoices, it magnifies, it extols my Savior. That gets lost, the biblical text and the whole import of the Magnificat as it's used in the minor offices. That adoration aspect gets lost by the extra-biblical material. But Bach was smart enough, and he's always the wisest of any genius. He stuck to the biblical text and helped the Christian to voice this adoration and praise in the work.
It's going to be magnificent, Magnificat, when we do hear it. And the words are in our Bible any time for us to hear in St. Luke's Gospel. Let me ask you, we're on the, do I have this right, Buzz? We're on the AM side of the wonderful KFUO operation. This is not the classical music side. This is the side where you might hear... who? Sandy Patty, Faith Hill, those kind of performers?
But you'll hear.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, but you'll hear a jubilation music, which includes classical music on the weekend.
Okay. Well, let me ask my professor. You know, this classical stuff that you're into is so old and boring. Old and boring. It's just not upbeat and. The counselor is having a conniption here.
The masses are booing you.
Say, okay, could. Not convert us. Talk to that, though, Robert, because a lot of people, they won't, and this is what I worry about with our students, they won't let themselves learn to appreciate J.S. Bach, for example. Would you speak to that?
Well, sure I will. There is a little bit of work and a little bit of know-how involved. If you've never listened to much of it, and so to speak, you get turned off by it, it's because you haven't been exposed to it. A person like that hasn't allowed himself to sit down and study, to think, and to reflect in a serious manner on Word of God and how that's used in the Christian's life and response. And with a little help, and that's why we continually put Bach before people, because to me, he's the epitome, the highest point to which you can walk or you can climb to express supremely to God. Our adoration, our worship, our praise, or our petitions and our thanksgivings. And the music that you refer to, you know, the more commonplace, I consider that to be entertainment music. The more of it's coming at me and it makes me feel good. This music makes you work and makes you think in godly terms more. And I suppose I would offend some people by saying that, but I profoundly believe that any music that's lived for 250, 300 years and now enjoys the reputation in the world as perhaps the most supreme place that's where you can find a religious aspect in every phrase is the music of Johann Sebastian Bach.
It's been a blessing to me in the years of my life. And, hey, there is law and there is gospel. We need to hear about the music that we should be hearing, and the music that we like to hear but may not edify us quite as much and certainly hasn't passed this test of the centuries. Now, our counselor here, Marty Lindved, is just kind of, she's rolling her eyes at me, but I can tell that she has a profound respect for you, and she's got a question she wants to pitch to you, Dr. Bob.
Here we go.
Okay, Dr. Baricht, you just a moment ago you said that the music took a little bit of work, and my bachelor's degree is in music, so I think I've sung the Magnificat. It takes more than a little bit of work, and my hat goes off to you, not only for what you do every year and every Bach at the Sem season, but for having the flexibility and the to kind of pull back and say, you know, this isn't the best time. I know you've been working on this probably since school started or longer to perform at Christmas time. And, you know, because of where it fits in the church year. And yet you've had the flexibility of spirit to say, well, you know, there's so much going on. You're not a slave to the date on the calendar, for your performance. And people will not only, receive it, perhaps in a different fashion, but we may be able to, you know, really profess and to proclaim this music more effectively in January. I'm just kind of thinking, if you didn't have the ability to really be somewhat flexible, which some conductors would not have the calm, at least I'm hearing calmness in your voice. You sound so pleasant and so, you know, I've already adjusted to this and we've got it on a different date and I'm okay with this. You had to be somewhat disappointed, but you're flexible enough to roll into a different time frame and know that this music will bless people in January or February, wherever it lands on the calendar when you perform it. Flexibility is so important when we deal with all these unexpected changes, you know, that we can't foresee.
Well, I appreciate your viewpoint and your extreme compliments. Thank you. Yeah, well, I think one has to be flexible. I would love to have done this Sunday, because my daughter's flying here with my granddaughter from Tacoma, Washington. I have a friend flying here just for that, from Phoenix. And I doubt that either one of them will be able to come in by plane the way this ice is going and then our services of electricity. And then another dear friend, an organist, was driving here with his wife from Cincinnati. But I think we've told all of them if they can delay it, but they aren't. They're coming anyway to visit at this time. But, why not do it in January? I think you can do the Magnificat, for example, of Bach, and the other cantata that we were doing, a chorus, now as salvation has come unto us. You can do that on any day of 365 years.
Nun ist das Heil, is that the one?
Yeah, and my soul adores the living God. You know, that's Mary's song and the church's song. Well, you can do that anytime.
Let me ask if we can draw this this last interchange together. So now, what does Dr. Berg's flexibility tell me and our listeners about coping with stress?
Well,
at this time of year.
At this time of year, it's really important to know that you have to let go of the things that you can't control. The weather you can't control. The airports you can't control. For those people who arrive that wanted to hear the Magnificat directed by Dr. Berkt, there will be disappointment, you know, and you'll deal with that. And it will probably sting and hurt, but it sounds to me like you're going to celebrate with them in a different fashion when they arrive.
We might just pray the Magnificat in words together.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Let's see now, Buzz. We've got Carol on the line. Can we keep Dr. Berkt on the line too? We can do this.
We can.
Wow.
Do this.
Wow. What technology we have here at KFUO. Please, Carol.
Yes. My comment is, I'm actually making, goodies for our cookie walk at church at Christ Memorial. And I, am an avid listener to the station. And when I heard that the concert will be moved to January, I understand it's a very difficult situation for you to be in and a decision to have made, but I think perhaps more of us are going to be able to attend because we don't have as many conflicts pulling us, you know, in different directions, wanting to be at this concert and that play and this situation that we feel committed to here at church or wherever it might be socially. So I just felt like it was a real blessing going to be for some of us who would not have been able to attend, you know, on the seminary scheduled date. So I hope everything will go well. I'm sure it will. And I'm sorry for the disappointment for those who won't be able to hear it. But I just want to let you know that I think there will also be a lot of hope and joy for those that will be able to attend.
Well, Carol, you sound like someone who knows how to deal with stress. There's been a change, and you're putting the best construction on the change.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to, you know, trust in the Lord.
And bake those cookies, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I hope my pita brittle turns out, so thank you.
Carol, when we come to the January 19th, which is a Friday before the 21st, when likely we will do both of these works, well, then if it has ice and snow again, I'll just say the Lord is telling me something.
That, I hope that doesn't occur, but I guess if it does, we'll have to deal with it.
Right. Then please. We'll deal with it at that time.
That's yeah,
right.
Please don't create stress for me, though, Bob, by picking Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, that's, no, we aren't close yet. It's just the playoffs. I always check the calendar for that, Dale.
Yeah. So how are you feeling? You were under the weather a little bit
this
week.
Well, sure, I was under the weather, too, this week on top of it. But I'm coming out of that. I still have a cough, but I'm okay. I'm happy to say the Lord has blessed me hitherto once more in my life. Yeah. So I'm feeling well again.
Well, that's wonderful. And
the other thing is, you know, in the chorus, I've got three out, really sick with influenza right now. And they'll be able to sing the January concert. So there is always good in everything. I just hope that we get the word out that we've had to delay and postpone the Magnificat and Cantata 50 until a time later, and I think it will be January 21.
Okay, well, I thank you for joining us on Tom Baker's Law and Gospel. I am not Tom Baker. And you just stay warm, enjoy the evening, and keep that good spirit. We really treasure you on the campus here, Dr. Baer. You're a wonderful person.
I will
person.
Make a proper distinction between law and gospel
okay.
in my home, yes.
Okay. And I know you will. Okay. Marty, it's been great having you here. Any wrap-up words on dealing with the stress?
I think it's so important to remember what we're celebrating, you know, to let go of those things, again, that you can't control, to laugh. You know, God brings joy to us, and that's so important to reconcile. Sometimes that's part of what brings stress to holidays is broken relationships. And again, you know, what the whole focus of Christmas is Christ. Mm. And it's not, you know, how many parties I go to. It's, you know, observing the fact that he was born as a baby.
Absolutely. Well said. The law is the tyranny of the should, and we feel it at this time of the year so much. I should do this, I should do that, promises to go, miles to go, and promises mm-hmm. to keep.
Yes.
And that's law, and the gospel is Jesus is for us, as Dr. Gibbs said. Yes. Jesus is for us. So I thank you, Reverend Tom Baker, for letting me sit in for you. Thanks to our guest today. This has been a real joy for me, and God bless you, and be safe out there.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker Monday through Friday at 2:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.